Welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney. And we're just two Kathleens showing you how you can make your countertops look like high-end marble without the price tag.
This project is so long overdue. In fact, it's almost a year.
And in this episode, we are discussing how to use epoxy to make your countertops look like real stone.
It's truly unbelievable.
Yeah.
We did it yesterday.
Yep.
Kathleen came over to my house. This project should have been finished last June.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah, it was a one-room challenge for last spring. And I got so burned out with all the other steps. I said, I'll finish this later. And I never did.
Let's say you're at home right now. You don't like your countertops. And you've been dreaming of something white that looks like marble, but it's out of your budget. A couple of weeks ago, we did an episode about laminate. Mm-hmm. And during that episode, Kathleen, I have to remind you, you completely swore off epoxy. You're like, I'm done with epoxy. I'll never do it again. Laminate is the way to go. What changed your mind?
I'm so happy we are recording this episode after doing it for the second time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I was very negative on epoxy. The first time I tried it, I was really happy with the overall effect. But when you look closely, it was a little lumpy.
Mm.
So I knew there was room for improvement. And I really figured that out the second time I did it.
Oh, I'm so happy you did because now you can share it with everybody.
Yesterday went really well. The finish came out great. And I'm back on epoxy.
You're back on epoxy. So you bought a kit that cost you how much? $300?
$200.
Oh, okay.
I highly recommend this kit. This is not sponsored. Gianni Inc. G-I-A-N-I mm-hmm. Inc. And what I really like about this kit is it comes with everything.
And it gave you how much product for like square footage of countertop?
Comes with three cans and each can is 6 feet. So it's like 6 feet by like 24 inches.
Yeah.
I think 24 inches is around a standard counter depth.
So approximately 18 feet of countertops that you can cover with resin for $200. That's not terrible. That's a lot of countertop.
The good thing about this kit and this brand, it's not just the epoxy.
Mm-hmm.
So this kit comes with white primer. So there's different ones. I got the like Carrera white marble look.
Gotcha.
They have different sets, but this one comes with white primer for the base. Then it comes with a small thing of gray for the veining.
Yeah, gray paint.
It comes with white paint for highlight. It's like a little bit brighter than the primer.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes with an angled brush, a little spray bottle, a sponge. It comes with a roller. It comes with plastic.
Yeah.
That kit gives you everything you need to do this from start to finish. You don't have to buy anything else.
First step. Primer. How does that work?
When I actually started a year ago, I did use like a heavy duty primer as well. I used like a bonding stain blocker because I was starting with bare plywood countertops that Brian and I actually made ourselves. I was not doing it on laminate, but even if you're starting with laminate or you're starting with granite, whatever you're starting with, I would recommend this extra step to get the best results possible.
Especially if, like, I have granite countertops. I hate the color. It's very early 2000s. And I've seen people who feel the same way about their granite countertops. They do epoxy resins over their real stone countertops because they don't like the color. And the results are really quite beautiful, but because it's already a shiny surface, you're right. A separate binding primer additional to the kit would definitely be helpful.
Yeah. And if you're doing something like a granite, I would look up additional steps. They might have it on the Gianni website, but since I was on laminate/wood, the steps were different, but you probably would want to degrease. Maybe you would want to sand.
Yeah.
That's something you would have to look up. For me, started with the bonding primer and then I used their primer, which is just a very nice bright white. I was happy with the color because we know there's lots of shades of white.
Eggshell, duck shell,
dove wing,
quail shell.
So then I let it dry. Honestly, not very long, like an hour and a half. I am sure you're supposed to let that dry longer.
Yeah.
But I don't follow the rules. And that's the time I had.
So I'm curious as to the type of countertop you got because I've never seen like a plywood countertop at Home Depot, and your countertop wasn't just like a piece of plywood, you know, rested on top of some cabinets. It had like a bullnose. There was edging. Like, how did you buy that?
That's because I'm a magician. Actually, my husband's a carpenter.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just got a sheet of plywood. You want to get a plywood that has a nice finish.
Yeah.
Like a nice veneer. Otherwise, it's going to have a lot of wood grain, which is going to take away from that effect.
Yeah.
So spend a little bit more, get a nicer piece of plywood. And then I think we use just like kind of scrap wood underneath, put the plywood on top.
Yeah.
But we made sure to set the depth to what would be a standard countertop.
Gotcha.
And we determined that height by we took two pieces of quarter round, put them together, which creates a semicircle.
Gotcha.
And then we glued and nailed that to the edging.
Wow.
So it created that curve.
Yeah.
That emulates a counter, and had to really make sure you had a good miter corner on the corner, right? To get that point. Rounded it off a little bit so it wasn't too sharp. Lots of wood putty and sanding to get the best possible surface before you started with the paint.
So I was fully expecting you to be like, oh, you can just buy these countertops at Home Depot. I was not at all expecting you to say that you took like a quarter round and a miter saw and putty and stuff, because it looked seamless. Like, you guys did really good work with that countertop.
Thanks. We definitely took a little bit longer to build that out, but that probably was the full sheet of plywood, I think, is like $80 because wood is more expensive and quarter round is really cheap. And I had the wood putty. I use just like wood filler.
Yeah.
And I have a sander and all that stuff. But a lot of people, if you're just starting with a laminate, you can start with the counter you had. But we had, like I said, nothing on that side.
Yeah.
When we bought the house, it was an old stove and an old fridge. No counter. Mm. So we had to start from scratch. We started with Home Depot's stock cabinets, painted them the blue to match, built the counter.
Okay. And then you do, how many quarts of primer did you do? Because we had a DIY listener, DIYer Rebecca, she sent us a whole bunch of DMs about how she recently did her bathroom vanity. And she said that she did at least 3 or 4 coats of primer over her laminate, because she just really didn't want the laminate to show through at all.
Yeah, I would say I probably did 2 coats of the bonding primer and 2 coats of the primer that the kit had.
Yeah. And then when we started the kit yesterday, right before you were about to put on the veining, you slapped on another coat of primer. And I think that worked in your favor to have that like top coat a little bit wet when you're doing your veining. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I actually wouldn't recommend it, because I think then when you're adding a lot of water to it, it's going to start pulling up a lot of the white. But like I said, I couldn't be bothered with waiting.
Yeah.
And it needed another coat because there was all these T-rings from when I set my mug down. I think it spills a little bit when I put it down.
I don't think that your tea was spilling. I think that bonding primer, when you put a hot cup on it, like the bottom of the mug, it turns yellow.
Yeah, that could be it. Whatever it was, I had a lot of rings, a lot of stains. It was a full year of just a piece of wood with some primer.
You know, honestly, you couldn't tell on your Instagram pictures, and that's really what matters.
So from there, I was ready to get started, and I started with a lot of apprehension because the last time, like I said, like the surface was fine, but it was a little lumpy. I did have some air bubbles.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, I don't know. I hope it looks good. It definitely has to look better than this bare wood.
Yeah. You kind of just wanted to like finish the project, get it done and over with, and not have to think about it again.
Yeah. And it's because we're having a barbecue this weekend.
There's nothing that makes you, one, clean your house, or two, finish like last minute DIY projects, like having like a Mother's Day party or like some sort of party at your house.
And it's so funny because the last party we had at our house was 2 years ago when we got engaged.
Yeah.
And that was when we started the kitchen like the first time.
I remember that. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, need to have a party once every 2 years just to get some things done.
Speaking of things that are fun, like parties.
Yes.
Let's pause for a quick word from our sponsor.
Hello.
Hello, it's us again. We're our own sponsor. So we have some really exciting news. We are planning a trip for people who love design.
Have you ever been on a trip and you wish you were surrounded by people that love what you love?
I always have to go off and do my own things when I'm traveling, like architecture tours and sneaking in like the modern art museums because nobody ever wants to do those things with me when I travel.
I want to do those things.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah. Wanna what I want to do?
What?
I want to find amazing thrifted finds.
Oh.
I want to do food tours.
Oh yeah.
I want to drink wine.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, I need a group of friends who like design to travel with, we are planning a trip. We have a survey up right now. You can link over from our Instagram. You can link over from our homepage. The link is also in the show notes. We're just doing a quick survey to see who's interested.
So let us know. Definitely fill that out. And maybe we'll see you on our trip.
Yeah, we can all hang out together in, I don't know, Paris?
Yeah, or let's do it.
Portugal?
Anywhere.
Okay, you got the primer on. Now it's time to crack open the gray paint to hand paint on your veinings.
Yes. For this, you should do some research. Look up some natural stone, some marble. Look at Carrara. That's what I did. Now, Carrara or any natural stone is super irregular.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to let go of perfection and lean into very wavy, irregular lines. But have a plan.
Yeah.
And Gianni recommends sketching out your countertop. So for me, it was just 2 3-foot sections, just squares.
Yeah. So it wasn't that big.
Right. But they recommend, you know, if it's an L, whatever, draw it out and think about your veins and think about that pattern you're going to do ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't completely wing it. It looked like to Kathleen, probably I was winging it, but
it did. It honestly did.
I had an idea in my mind. I did look at some images and I had done it before.
Yeah.
Because natural stone has many different types of veins.
Yeah.
There's Y veins and crescent veins
and like little pockets of like a dab of color because the vein is like underneath and that was where it came to the surface or whatever.
Right. So not every single mark is going to go from edge to edge. Mm-hmm. Some are floating. And it was a little intimidating when I was working on the first section of counter because I feel like I forgot some of the veining techniques that I had learned the first time I did it. But by the time I got to the second one, I was feeling good and went way faster.
Yeah.
And it worked really well.
So I was actually surprised to see you doing this. You had a tiny little brush to do the veining, and then you had a separate paintbrush that was kind of like your stippling brush where you mussed up the vein after you painted it on because that's the only way to make it look natural. And you had a little spray bottle with water that you were spraying the paint with as you did it. Explain that, because you asked me if I wanted to try and I was like, absolutely not. I cannot do this for the first time in somebody else's kitchen because God forbid I mess up. Every time you see that, you're going to shake your fist in the air and be like, Kathleen,
how dare you? Yeah. So this kit is great because it comes with a little brush, it comes with the bigger brush, and it comes with the tiny spray bottle. So what I forgot and then what I re-remembered when I did the second half is kind of some of the techniques and things I learned when I did it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So here are my tips for getting a great marbling effect with paint. Plan it out. Decide what kind of veins you're going to do.
Yeah.
Get the general idea. Then you dip your small pointy brush in the gray veining and you hold it with a very loose hand. You're not holding it like a pencil. You're holding it like at the far end of the brush.
Yeah.
So that's like very loosey-goosey in your hand.
Uh-huh.
You're going to drag it across the surface. And you're going to kind of, it's not a straight line.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of varying where you're directing it. Gianni's website recommends sometimes even spinning the brush as you're going, kind of changing how much pressure is going on to there. And I learned yesterday that it goes a little bit better for me if I actually pre-wet where I'm going to put the vein.
Oh, I see.
So you can do either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to change how strong that line is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can spray the little spray bottle where you're going to vein, do the vein, and then use your larger angle brush and pounce like you're doing a stencil. Like, and you're blurring it out.
Yeah. So that is one of the tips that listener Rebecca wrote into our DMs. She said it helped me create the veining when I started to think about it like it was a watercolor project.
Mm-hmm. The spray bottle really diffuses it and it creates kind of a natural like texture in it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a give and take because it's not like you do it once and you're done. It's really building layers, fading some areas out, keeping some areas a little bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think of the first pass of going across and then stippling on it. It's like this is creating like a shadow.
Yeah.
Like, this is where the vein lives. And then say the second time I'm going back and I'm leaving some areas darker. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm dragging the brush a little bit and I'm able to direct that paint as opposed to always like the up and down like motion.
And multiple times I saw you go back to the primer to put a little bit more primer on and spots that you wanted to lighten up. Then I saw you go to the highlight paint and spots that you wanted to like really, you wanted that shiny effect. You know, sometimes marble and natural stone almost looks like it has glitter in it. Mm-hmm. It was really like you're in the zone. It's not like, okay, now the veining is done and you're done. You kind of like you step back. You look at it. You were like a real painter yesterday. I was really impressed. You step back, you look at it, you scratch your chin. You're like, no, I'm gonna change this here, change that there. And to me, what makes this less intimidating, because if I had not watched you do it and somebody handed me a kit, I would have been terrified. Yeah. Because it is like a pretty permanent thing.
Right.
What I like about this is adding the water makes it a much less formal process.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned on the first section. I didn't add enough water. So some of those lines, when I went to blur them, they weren't blurring out because they were like instantly dried.
Gotcha.
So sometimes starting with the water first and then putting the line gives you a little bit more flexibility. And what I'll say is if you're working on it and it's still pretty wet and you're not happy, you can just wipe it off. But say it's been a little bit of time and you're not sure, or say you get the whole thing done and then you step back and you realize you don't like it, that's okay. Let it dry and just prime over it.
Sand it a little bit, then prime it again.
Mm-hmm. It's only permanent when you get to the epoxy, then you're in trouble. But you could spend as long as you need perfecting those veins. But I will tell you, don't try to make them perfect.
Yeah, don't overwork it.
Because when you try to make it perfect, it's going to look artificial because stone is super irregular.
Yeah, because yeah, Mother Nature is not perfect. Mother Nature is perfect the way she is. Once you kind of have your veining looking like what you want it to look like, how long did you let it dry before you started the resin process?
Barely any time.
I think we waited like an hour. We went outside, we had lunch.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know what the directions say, but I'll tell you, an hour worked fine. But if it's super wet, you don't want to put the resin on then because that could affect the quality.
Yeah, and yesterday was a hot day. So 76 degrees in New Jersey. It wasn't too humid out, but it was pretty warm. So I think that sped up the drying time a little bit as well.
Yeah, so next step is actually prepping your entire space with plastic sheeting.
I feel like we really tucked your kitchen in like a little baby into a crib. Like nothing was showing. Everything was covered in plastic sheets except for the countertop.
Right. But you know what happened?
What?
When I took the sheet off, everything looked great.
Yeah.
Then today, there's tons of epoxy on the front of my cabinet.
Do you think that it like is still setting because it's still like within the week where it officially sets and some dripped overnight?
No, because after 2 hours, I checked all the drips. I don't know. I think maybe it was when I was taking the plastic off.
Oh,
maybe I just like had it on the sheet and then brushed against it.
Oh no, that's the worst.
So you got to be careful when you're putting it on, but also be careful when you're taking it off.
Well, how are you going to get it off your cabinet?
Acetone, scraper. I don't know.
Oh, good luck with that.
And after you've done all that prep work better than I have, then it's time to work with the epoxy. Doing the two-part epoxy, and this freaked me out.
The resin part.
Because I have an artist background. I paint a lot. My mom is a photorealistic painter.
Yeah.
So the marbling is like whatever to me. I think some people could actually feel more stress for that than the epoxy, but I was the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been sitting in my basement for like 2 years. Yeah. So I was kind of worried about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like it's very permanent and it's messy.
So they give you the can of epoxy. Then they give you the activator.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix them together and they're very clear in the directions. Get all of the activator out of that can into the epoxy. And then you have to stir it for so random. I mean, it's probably not random to the company that makes this kit. 3.5 minutes.
Precisely. They said to stir it vigorously without splashing for 3 minutes and 30 seconds, my hand was cramping.
I know. I opened up my iPhone and I was like, ready, set, go. That's how much time it must need to like blend and activate. But you feel it getting thicker at the end, right?
Yeah. The consistency is like syrup, like a maple syrup. It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
The viscosity.
Ooh, now you're talking dirty to me, girl.
What I learned this time is I think the issue I was having last time is I did it too thin and I overworked it.
Can you just explain how you did it too thin the first time? Because I don't know if I'm grasping that concept.
I think I was treating it like paint. So I put it on pretty thin and then I was putting a lot of pressure in the roller.
Oh, and this time you treated it like thick, delicious syrup.
And just, yeah, spread it as opposed to like smushing it. But this time, as Kathleen experienced, I think I actually did it too thick.
I don't think you did it too thick.
When you're doing the epoxy, you have to let it drip over the edges.
Yeah.
So it really does get a lot on the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I say I think I did too much because I was like trying to push some over the edge.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I think I poured too much. But they do tell you on the website, like this can is good for six 6 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah.
So do that math in your head, depending on the section you have, and make sure you're pouring the correct amount. And they recommend just from the can, you pour it in kind of like a Z shape or however many, back
an
S. and forth you have in that space. And then you go from there. Let's talk about the next step, which is spreading the epoxy.
Ooh, this is the fun part.
They recommend using your angled brush and getting it if you have any type of backsplash.
Yeah, that little lip part that sometimes comes up that's like part of the same countertop material.
Use your brush, bring it up if you have that part, or just use the brush to really get the edges because depending on where you're rolling, the roller might not get all the way,
kind of,
the way it's curved,
that
little section could get missed. So
spread
the epoxy into the edges and even over the edge.
Yeah.
They recommend using the brush to make sure it's really getting over the edge.
Yeah. You want it to drip. That's why you need the plastic there covering your cabinets and your floor.
Mm-hmm. And then switch to a foam roller. It was so thick that there was a lot of times where the roller wasn't rolling and I was more so just moving the epoxy. But I actually think that was fine.
Yeah.
Because last time I think it was so thin I was really rolling the epoxy and it was putting like a lot of texture into it.
And air bubbles.
And
pressure.
Whereas this time I was more so just directing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like if you were to put oil in a pan and then you pick up the pan and you kind of let it swirl all over the pan so it coats everything. Obviously you can't do that with a countertop, but that's kind of like the effect that you're going for. You just want everything to be coated.
Smoothing and spreading.
Yeah, because it's self-leveling. So you don't need to overwork it. So if you feel like you see a brush stroke, that brush stroke is just kind of going to disappear because the epoxy will just sort of even itself out before it really sets.
Yeah. And you have a good amount of time before it sets. So check the edges, use your brush, brush any of those big drips off.
Mm-hmm.
That will continue to happen for about an hour or so.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to make sure I got the underneath of that bull nose.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, because those will just dry into jagged shards.
Yeah. People complain about cutting themselves if they don't get those drips in time.
I checked that. And now I'm really lucky because the first time I did have a lot of issue with this and the second time I didn't, they recommend having
tweezers
nearby. If you have pets, if you have kids, if people are in and out of that room, just in air circulation, things are going to fall onto the counter and you need your tweezers to then pick them out.
Like if I tried to do this in my house, I would do my dang darndest to get every tiny little piece of cat hair out of the room because and that's almost impossible.
Right.
And I had the bright idea before you're going to put on your epoxy. I was like, oh, grab a lint roller. I'm going to roll this so there's really no dust on it. And I rolled up some of your paint. So don't do that if you're listening to this and you're thinking about doing that.
They also recommend using the tweezers to pop air bubbles.
Mm.
I didn't really find success in that. Any air bubble I saw was like the size of like the tip of a pin.
So you can't really see it.
I couldn't really see it, but like I didn't feel like it was popping. I don't know. It's weird. So that didn't really help for me.
Yeah.
And the third thing, which Gianni didn't recommend it, the kit I got, mm-hmm. but I've seen online, is using a heat gun or some people use a blowtorch for epoxy. I was like, oh, I have a heat gun. I'm going to try it on some of these bubbles. For me, well, I don't know why, it created more bubbles.
More bubbles. Yeah, I would say probably not a heat gun. Now, I'm wondering if you had more success this time because you did it when it was warmer out. Like, what time of year did you do the other side of the kitchen? You did it in the summer too?
Yeah. But I really think it's the thickness and the fact that I didn't overwork it. Wasn't really going in and out of there a lot. Mm-hmm. I left the house after I finished.
Yeah.
And the only thing I saw in the morning, a tiny little bug had lost his life in the epoxy and he was perfectly flat in there and I had to dig him out. So here's the thing. This morning, which was not even a full 24 hours, it is dry to the touch.
Really?
So it's kind of glass-like, super glossy. You can run your hands over it, although I don't really recommend doing that.
Yeah.
But I was like underneath to see how dry it was. Mm-hmm. But that little bug, he really stood out against the white that I was able to use tweezers and pick him out. It left a tiny mark.
Yeah.
We'll see if it continues to kind of level out.
Yeah.
But the mark was less noticeable than the bug carcass.
Yeah. Yeah. the poor bug. After you finished it yesterday, after you got the resin on, I was in awe of how good it looked. I was like, wow.
It made the marbling look so much better and more realistic than when it was flat.
Oh my God. I don't trust. Now I know how they do like play sets where it looks like all stone. I don't trust anything anymore. It's unreal what you can do with a little bit of faux marbling. It's crazy.
It's really cool. And the last thing I'll have to say about just kind of the whole process is they say, make sure to time it. So within an hour, you're checking for the bubbles and the fuzz. Mm-hmm. But within 2 hours, you got to get the tape off because they're like, otherwise it'll be cemented to your counter forever.
Forever and ever.
So I took it off after 2 hours and I did not wear gloves. I didn't even consider wearing gloves. I got epoxy all over my hands.
Ooh.
And I did touch it in a few places by accident, but it leveled out and it was fine. Within 2 hours, it was still doing its thing and was not messed up.
Wow. Epoxy countertops. It's probably the cheapest way. Somebody said that they listened to our laminate episode and they ended up doing epoxy because they couldn't find any laminate in their local stores that they liked.
No, she wants to. She hasn't tried it yet. Asking about it.
Okay.
I asked if anyone had any questions and one of our listeners reached out on Kathleen Can Do It Instagram. She had a bunch of good questions. She was asking if it would change the thickness. Like, would it affect where appliances go in? No, because it's not even going on the side.
Yeah.
And it barely adds any thickness. So I think you can still switch things around.
Yeah.
My friend Kelly was reaching out like, oh, would this be good for a bathroom? I think it would be even better for a bathroom.
Yeah, because there's no heat.
There's no heat. There's just a lot less wear and tear in that sense.
Yeah.
I think it's a great option.
Anything else you want to add, Kathleen, now that you are a two-time expert on doing epoxy countertops?
I think it's a really good budget-friendly option. If you are not happy with what you have and you're not even in the market to switch it out to something else that's budget friendly, it gives you the ability to create a high-end look with what you already have and only really a day's work.
Yeah. I think that you could like do like a side hustle thing where you do this for other people.
Kathleen, stop it.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can follow us at Kathleen Can Do It on everything.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color. If you want to send us an email, our email address is hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com.
We got the sweetest email from Corey. It made us so happy. She was mentioning how she's been listening to the podcast and she hasn't really been in a creative space lately. Can totally relate to that ebb and flow of creativity.
What do you do when you feel like you need a little creative boost? Like, is there something you watch on TV or listen to?
Honestly, sometimes when I'm not feeling creative, I take a step back and I like take a nap.
Mm.
I like get my mind off of what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And then I feel more energized to look at it maybe a different way.
Yeah. Like not in terms of a specific project, but just when I feel like I need to feed my creative soul. I've been watching this show on the Magnolia Network called For the Love of Kitchens.
Oh.
I watch every episode like multiple times. It's about this like British design company that does the most magical kitchens. And that's what really gets me feeling in the creative mood again. It's so weird.
No, it's not weird. Finding inspiration from others is something we always do.
Yeah, but the same episodes over and over again.
Hey, you can take something new every time.
That is true. That is true. Check out our Facebook group. We always have such cool stuff going on in there. This week, DIY friend Lauren posted side-by-side photos of what her and her husband have done to the house versus what the house looked like on Zillow when they bought it. I love the teal door that she has in her living room. Like the back of the front door is painted teal.
Yeah, that's such a fun pop of color. Thank you for sharing. If you want to join our group, head over to Facebook and search Kathleen Can Do It, DIY and Design Group, and we'll come up.
I guess that's all she wrote for this week. So don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.